Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon.
Yay!
Today we're going to be talking about The Romans, which is the 12th serial, the 4th serial of season 2. It consists of 4 episodes, The Slave Traders, All Roads Lead to Rome, Conspiracy, and Inferno, which aired from January 16th, 1965 to February 6th, 1965. Boring information out of the way.
You did it.
I did it. Soon it'll be just like it's this many episodes from this date to this date because titles.
It's more regular.
Well, yeah, I mean, but also they dropped the titles after a while. The individual episode titles.
So the Romans.
The Romans.
I will say, last podcast we talked about the only thing that I knew about the Romans was that I've seen that GIF where Barbara fixes Ian's hair and I was excited because it looks adorable. I was so not disappointed. This serial, the whole, well, most of it is just adorable.
Most of it.
Yeah.
We'll get
Team
to that.
Team TARDIS is at it. Like,
this is a very lighthearted sort of serial, mostly. I mean, it's more humorous than any serial we've come across, I think. I mean, it has the most amount of humor, I feel like.
Yes.
Or at least intentional humor.
There's, like, comical writing in a way that the show hasn't really been written before.
Except maybe in, like, little small doses, but it's more heavy in this serial than previous serials.
So let's talk about what happened. So,
all right, we
in the rescue, the TARDIS lands
on a cliffside, and it's teetering, and then it falls, and now we are in the Slave Traders. First episode.
It opens with like the best sort of cut ever.
Well, I mean, we had that recap of teetering and falling,
and then like cuts to Ian, and he's like passed out, and you're like, oh no, and then Ian. Hand just comes up and it's full of grapes and he eats the grapes, and the thing is he's been asleep, so it's implied that he's fallen asleep with grapes in his hand, and the first thing he does when he wakes up is eat more grapes
because that's how you do when in Rome or out,
lay around and eat grapes
just outside of Rome, really.
Yeah.
When you're just outside of Rome, that's not as good a saying.
So Team TARDIS have been just like chilling out
For like a couple months or...
No, a month. They say it's been about a month, which is kind of amazing.
Yeah, how often does that happen?
Like, at first I remember they were like, well, we've been here so long. And I'm like, why? What happened to the TARDIS? And then the doctor's like, you know we could leave at any time. And I'm like, so they're just on vacation.
Yeah.
They're just chilling out.
They need a vacation. They've had a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, and I think Barbara and Ian are kind of like, we're amazed that we've got the doctor to kind of slow down this long and let us just hang out. It's been nice. The doctor has like a garden. He's watering plants. They sit around and eat.
He's just messing with Ian every chance he gets.
He's purposefully messing with Ian, and it's my favorite.
Ian asks him, like, where's Vicky and Barbara? And the doctor just goes into this long thing about pipes and the watering systems of, like, Rome. And then he's like, they'll be back soon, or something like that. And then
Ian's like,
what? He's like, I just answered your question clearly and accurately. You asked me this question about Vicky and Barbara, and I answered it. What's wrong with you, Ian? Like, doctor, you answered that question 9 hours later. That's what the problem is. And Ian's just like, yep, silly me. It's adorable. Like, there's a lot of that
the
sort
doctor
of stuff.
Is very cute. I mean, he's very
doctory.
Yes, I didn't want to say that, but yes,
this is the most doctor the doctor's
ever been, and I feel like it's kind of what Hartnell's been doing, but there's just been other stuff going on, kind of thing. And like, it's the everybody is like the most that their character has ever been, I feel like, in this.
Yeah, because, well, I mean, a lot of it's just them hanging out together.
Yeah, I wanted to say, when you first, like, decide that you're going to watch Classic Who, there is this kind of thing that it's like, okay, well, you know the pacing is different. You know it's going to be way slower. Like, we're used to everything going, 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 going. Mm-hmm. Make sure you're aware of that, you know, when you start, you know, when you start to watch that. And I think, and like, in this episode in particular, that's to the show's benefit. Like,
yeah.
Because you have time to just be like, yeah, we're just hanging out. We're all sitting around this table and we're eating food. And the doctor's like, well, what did we have? It's freaking delicious. And Barbara's like, I made it. It's all this. And like the doctor's like giggling or like, oh yeah, that was good. And they're just like hanging around eating food.
What do you mean, ants? What do you take me for?
Teasing each other. And it's delightful. It's delightful. And you wouldn't really get that in New Who because it's like, okay, we're here. What's the problem? We're going to solve it. Okay, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Mm.
And you don't have time for just like, we're all sitting around eating dinner. And it's cute.
And also, we just got Vicky, so it's nice to have a little bit of a of downtime of just everybody hanging out. So we get to, like, know the crew a little bit better. Like, now that we have, I mean, it technically is like a new crew, kind of, and new dynamics and stuff. So to have that before just jumping into an adventure is kind of nice.
We get to see the dynamic between Vicky and everyone. It's very nice. I've said before that anytime they're all, like, sitting around eating, I'm like, yep, this is what I came here for. This is what I wanted to see. Mm-hmm. I am not disappointed.
And as much as we like all of the hanging out, Vicky does not.
No, Vicky's bored.
She's like, I thought there was going to be adventures and intrigue and...
Barbara and Ian are like, don't worry about it. Trouble will find us. Give us this 1 month, please. Let us have this month. But then the episode starts. So that month is over.
So, like, yeah, Vicky and Barbara are just, like, shopping, and they're, like, going through this place, and we see this ominous knife guy that's not explained right away. He's just there. What's up with that guy? But then they go into town, and then there's these two other guys who are looking to buy slaves or kidnap.
Slaves. They're not picky.
Kidnap people to be slaves? Something. But, like, one of them's like, look at those two ladies over there. They're prime choice.
They're good stock.
Ugh. 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 Everybody likes Barbara in creepy, creepy ways. But Barbara and Vicky are looking at fabric and stuff.
Which is cute because Vicky's, like, terrible at haggling.
Yeah.
Vicky's like, I want it. How much is it? And the person's like, oh, it's so rare. And how much would you be willing to pay for something that's this great? And Barbara's like,
we don't want it.
We don't. Let's go. We don't want it. And Vicky's like, well, I want it. And she's like, you're not good at this. But I mean, it's...
You're like, we'll come back later.
We'll come back later. Pretend we don't want it. I'll show you how this goes. And it's very... It's a nice little scene that doesn't do anything besides, again, establish kind of Vicky just being...
Like, excited to,
yeah.
to do things and to get out there and explore and stuff. Which, yeah, like, I immediately like her a lot better than Susan.
I agree, but it makes me feel sad that I agree. Like, this whole time I've been like, I love Vicky, I'm so ready for this. But I'm also like, it feels like a betrayal to me to like Vicky as much as I do.
Oh, come on. See, this show's all about change, though.
No,
so,
yeah.
Get with it.
Okay. I can like Vicky and Susan equally. The problem, I think, is that I already like Vicky a little bit better.
Well, see, here's the thing. Susan was always the one that's scared, that's like, ah, all the time. Very sort of, I don't want to say whiny, but she's kind of whiny.
Yeah.
And Vicky is more, like, excited and happy and, like...
She's wanting adventure, which is there for Susan's character, I feel like.
But Vicky doesn't have that screaming at everything.
Well, she hasn't had any time to scream at anything.
That's
Nothing
true.
Bad has happened to her yet.
Yeah, but I don't think she screams at one thing in this entire episode. Maybe a slight, when they find a dead body later.
There's a little bit of an underreaction when they find the dead body.
Yeah, that is very true.
So, anyway, there are slave traders. So
yeah, the slave traders go and talk to the woman that's selling the fabric. And they're like, do you know who that is? And they're like, she's like, no.
They live over there. They know they're from, which I love the lady. She's a nice side character where she's basically getting paid for information. And she's like, okay, here's what I know. And the guy's like, and what else? And she just holds her hand out again, and she keeps holding her hand up the more information. And like, when he's done giving information, she like, her hand is still out, and she's kind of like, anything else? No. But basically what they find out is that
they're from Londinium.
And they've been staying in this guy's house, and they're like, we just assume, which she's like, he's like out of town. We just assume that they're friends of his looking after his house while he's gone. Which they're not. They're totally just like, oh, this guy's out of town.
And I think the slave traders are kind of like, yeah, that sounds sketch. Let's go pick them up.
Which they have no regard for, like, other people's belongings. Like, how many times do they just show up places and they're just like, yeah, we're in a grave, we'll just take this bracelet, or that house is probably abandoned.
Let's go rifle through it.
Let's go, I'll take this dress. Let's
eat all their grapes.
And, like, they're shocked when, like, that turns out poorly for that.
Yeah.
Like, the slave traders get into the house, or is that, am I jumping too far ahead?
You're jumping a little bit ahead, because before we get to that, there was a person in the town square playing a lyre, and
I remember seeing that person and thinking, that man's haircut looks remarkably like the doctor's.
And anyway, he's, like, heading back home, and he gets stabbed by the knife guy, and we still don't know what's going on at this point. He just drags him off the road. And then scene end. And then we go, then we have everybody's eating.
Delightful scene. I love it. It's my favorite. I could just watch characters I enjoy eating all day.
And it's like everybody's getting along, having fun. And then like one small misstep from, I don't even remember who it is.
From Barbara.
Yeah. And the doctor's like, Fah!
Here's what it is the doctor says something about wanting to go. And Ian and Barbara are like, no, we're having a good time. Because the doctor's kind of been like, you guys have been laying about, doing nothing. And Ian and Barbara are like, yup, it's amazing. Awesome. And so the doctor says something about wanting to go, and Ian and Barbara are like, no.
I thought it was like Ian and Barbara were saying they wanted to go or something. And then the doctor's like, I think they were like questioning whether or not the TARDIS was okay.
Whether or not they could.
Yeah, and the doctor's like, I can leave whenever I want to. Like, it's fine. I can't believe you're questioning me again. And then it's like, well, you know what? I'm going to Rome. Bye.
Yeah, and they're like, we want to go to Rome too. And he's like, no, nope. You said no. You said you didn't want to go. And they're like, that's not what we meant. Oh. Yeah.
I don't know, it's just some sort of, like, misunderstanding or some small thing that made the doctor upset.
Which I will say, the doctor's, I don't know how to phrase it without upsetting people. Because I don't want to say he's been, like, nicer this episode. He's more, I see more of that, like, cute grumpy old man than just grumpy old man.
Yeah.
More of the, like, the humor and, like, the teasing and, like.
More jovial in a way.
Yeah. I definitely get more of that in this episode than I have before, I feel like. And I love it.
Because, like, even though he's grumpy, he's still, like, making jokes and, like, just messing with people. Because, like,
it feels like more of a show that he's really doing it to mess with their head.
I feel like maybe he knows that, like, Vicky wants to go on an adventure and is, like, sort of, this is his way of doing it.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I want to get some alone time with a new companion just to, you know, show her around and stuff. Like, no offense to, like, Barbara and Ian or anything. But, like, yeah, let's just go on our own little mini-adventure.
Yeah, he's not really mad. This is just his way to make that happen.
There's also that beautiful bit where, like, they're arguing and stuff. And, like, the doctor calls Ian Chesterfield, like he does. And then Barbara's like, Chesterton. And then the doctor goes, oh, Ian, I think Barbara's calling you.
Which was so cute. This is the kind of content that I have been hoping for.
So the doctor and Vicky leave.
They go on their adventure to Rome.
And then we get another adorable scene with Barbara and Ian, where Barbara's like, your hair is not era appropriate. And then he's like, well, you're not touching it. And then, like,
he whines. He's like, it's gonna hurt. And she's like, it's a comb. You're fine. And she has to chase him around. And she finally gets him and he pouts. He pouts the whole time.
I think she, like, pushes him down, too, because I remember he fell.
He did fall. He did.
That's one of
Ian's. She doesn't push him down. He falls on his own accord.
Oh, yeah. That sounds more like Ian.
But he pouts the whole time, and then he sees himself, and he's like, yeah, good call. I am handsome. Which, by the way, before this scene, what sets it in motion is Barbara's just kind of staring at him, and he's like, what? And he's like, nothing. Just make a good Roman is all. Like, I'm just checking out how handsome you are.
Mm-hmm. Like, if you didn't ship them before this episode, there's no way you're not at this point.
I think Jez, previous guest star Jez, we were talking about a little bit, said that they're basically married in this episode, which is true.
Yeah. They're so cute.
So yeah, so Ian gets his hairdo.
Which is basically, she just pushes his hair down in front of his
forehead. That's how you would wear it.
Yeah, just like a bowl cut looking.
It's Roman.
It's the Spider-Man 3 hair fixing.
But he does, he like, he's checking himself out, and then of course he starts monologuing.
Friends, Romans, countrymen.
Yeah.
I may have got those little flipped around. But yeah, that whole thing.
And Barbara instantly regrets everything. She's like, well, that was a mistake. Now he's going to be so annoying.
He's going to be doing this for the next 20 minutes, and I'm probably going to have to correct him because he's probably going to get it wrong.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
And she is the history teacher.
Yeah.
So she would know.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're being all happy, and then boom, the slave traders bust in. And
there's a, I think it's this one where Ian tells Barbara that there's no ice, and Barbara says, there's some in the refrigerator, and Ian goes, oh yeah, and like goes to walk, and Barbara just starts laughing, and he's like, I can't believe I just did that. There's no refrigerator, we're in ancient Rome.
Classic comedy.
It's a good joke.
Then the slave traders come in and ruin all the fun.
Yeah.
And, well, there's still a little bit of fun. They're all fighting, and Barbara picks up a vase.
She's gonna help you guys.
And she's gonna smash one of the bad guys, one of the slave traders, over the head. Misses, and hits Ian in the head. And honestly, I have no idea how she missed. They were not moving around that much.
They weren't moving around. Ian was,
it looked like she did it on purpose. This is for that stupid speech!
Yeah, Barbara completely knocks out Ian on accident. And that's it. They're taken away.
Taken away by the slave traders. And then we cut back to the doctor and Vicky on their way to Rome. And they come across the body of the musician. Oh, I forgot to say, like, the guy killed the musician. And I just assumed he didn't like his music. It's like, stop playing Sweet Home Alabama. God.
You really hate
that
song.
Is that the only song you know? God. But yeah, they find the body. They're like, oh, it's a body.
Doctor's like, I'm going to touch his stuff, because that's what we do. We have no regard for other people's things.
I've got this. I want to take this liar.
And
there's a centurion.
Yeah.
That shows up, and the doctor's like, hey, what's going on? Put your sword away. You're scaring me.
The doctor, by the way, is a smooth talker. You know what it is. He's as smooth talker in this episode as he is in
The Reign of Terror.
And it's the same guy.
This serial was written by the same guy that did Reign of Terror, Dennis Spooner. So he's good at the comedy, I feel like.
He's good at the comedy, and he's good at the, like, doctor as, like, a smooth operator.
Well.
As, like, tricking people.
Smoothish.
Yes. Well, no, it's got to be funny.
Yeah. Because he's like, the centurion's like, are you so-and-so, the musician? And Doc's like, yeah, why not?
Sure. I think he's like, what?
You just took this dead guy's, like, for no reason, you took this dead guy's identity.
Yeah, and he's like, I just want to know what's going on. This seems interesting. This is something to do for a day. So, and he's like, besides, the guy's being invited to play for Nero. When are we ever going to get that chance again? Let's go. And Vicky's like, yeah, well, all right,
but, you know, hey, maybe this liar dude has a family?
Maybe we should
not pretend to be this guy and, you know, get him vengeance? No, doesn't matter. The dead guy does not return ever in this story.
Well, he's dead.
He's dead. I know, but, like, at no point does anything happen with the dead guy. I mean, like, the doctor is just pretending
to
be
like
him.
Would you like us to, like, go to his family and inform them and be like, well, your uncle was murdered.
I just feel bad for the guy. Like, no one knows. The doctor just pretends to be him for the rest of the episode and everybody buys it. It's a little sad. Anyway.
Does his, like, cohort at the thing, does he ever figure out that he's...
No.
Never?
No. No one ever figures out that the doctor is a lying liar with a liar.
A lying liar liar.
A lying liar liar player. But I guess don't hate the liar player. Hate the game. All right, moving on. Yeah, we go back to Ian and Barbara. There's this really creepy dude wanting to buy Barbara.
Yeah, right off the bat. Right off the bat, we're super creepy. Which, okay, I mean, like,
it's not the first time someone's wanted to buy Barbara. Like, that one dude was going to pay her to, like, get and help her get out of the Reign of Terror. It was Dennis Spooner has a weird thing for Barbara. That's what it is.
You know what else he has a weird thing for?
Ian in chains. Because he also wrote The Reign of Terror, in which that episode does not exist, where Ian is in shackles. But guess what?
This
serial exists. And you see Ian in chains. And Tony, we were watching it, and Tony just went, finally. That man is old enough to be your grandfather.
I don't want to talk about it anymore. That's embarrassing.
Also, you're married to me. Just putting that out there.
I'm not. It's not like a thing. I don't have...
The hots? You have the hots, but not the hots?
Yeah.
No. What does that mean?
Listen, that's what just... happens in the story.
All right, moving on. Creepo.
I don't... It's not like it's a...
Yes?
I just find it aesthetically pleasing.
You find Ian aesthetically pleasing.
I don't...
In chains.
So...
And with cute haircuts. And when he's all dirty.
Also when he's sick.
And also when he's sick. You're so...
So...
Anyway.
The story. So, Barbara. Let's talk about Barbara.
Okay, but they get split up. Ian and Barbara.
Yeah, because Barbara, they're like... Barbara is like... Good stock. We've said that before. We're going to send her on to Rome and we're going to auction her off.
And we're going to put Ian on a boat.
He's on a boat and he has to row, row, and he's...
Row the boat. That's actually jumping forward a little bit. But yeah, I mean, he gets taken off. So we cut to the centurion talking to the guy that killed the musician, who we find out doesn't have a tongue. He's mute. And stuff. That guy was supposed to kill the musician because there is a plot against... Well, it doesn't actually say yet, does it? It's just saying that that guy was supposed to kill...
Was supposed to kill him. We don't know why.
We don't know why. It's like, you did a crappy job. Now go really kill the musician or I'll cut something else out other than your tongue. And so, like, yes, the doctor is a smooth operator, but he just put himself in danger.
There you go. That's
so, no tongue... goes to kill the doctor, and that's our cliffhanger. And that's the end of The Slave Traders, and we're on to All Roads Lead to Rome. This is actually the best cliffhanger resolution, because it doesn't just, like, like, it doesn't actually does something interesting, I feel like.
Oh, that's right.
Because the dude comes in to the doctor's room, and the doctor just hands him his ass.
And the doctor is having a good time. He's like
enjoying it.
He's like, I have forgotten how fun it is to just beat the crap out of someone every once and again.
Like, seriously, the doctor is holding his own.
And, like, Vicky comes in, by the way, and is, you know, freaking out, reasonably.
And the doctor's like, yeah, I know what's going on. I know that I know that I've been led into a trap. He knows. He just says that he knows all these things.
Yeah, he just really wants to know what's going on. But, like, Vicky... like, a reasonable human being is like, you're being attacked. I'm going to help you. I'm going to save you. And I believe she goes to hit him over the head with something. But instead of being, he, like, in order to get out of the way of being hit on the head, he falls through an open window. So, he, no problem. But the doctor's kind of like, aw, I had him.
I was having fun there. I'm a great fighter. I trained with so-and-so, or trained somebody, I don't know. It's like, oh, you probably don't know who that is. And it's just bragging. It's just bragging. Which is very doctor-y.
Yeah.
Like, that's when we're like, man, he is so the doctor in this episode.
Yeah.
Then they're like, well, let's go to bed. And she's like, you want to stay here? And he's like, why not?
Yeah. Vicky's like, because people are here trying to kill you. And he's like, I know, isn't this great? Isn't it so much fun? And Vicky's like, yeah, kind of.
So much fun. Cut to Barbara in a cell.
Barbara.
You love Barbara.
Beautiful person that she is, of course, helping the person that she's in the cell with. She's the person in the cell is sick. She's not doing well. And Barbara's doing everything she can to take care of her because Barbara is a beautiful soul.
And then we go to Ian on a boat, as we said, rowing. And he's already making plans because that's what Ian does.
That's what Ian does.
He's like, I'm in a situation. How do I get out of it? He is always trying to escape from a cell, from a boat, from tiny places he puts himself into. But, like, immediately, like, you don't even get to see him, like, really, like, in the boat for very long before he already tries an escape attempt with, like, he's made this friend on the boat. And, like, they pretend that the friend is dead. And, like, the guard comes to check to see if the body's dead. And, like, Ian tries to jump the guard. And the guard's like, not gonna give me that easy.
He's like, people try to escape all the damn time.
What do you think you're doing? And he's like, oh, we'll try again later. Which, to be fair, he does not actually... The way he escapes...
isn't really of his own doing.
Yeah, but we'll get there. Back at the cell, there's this guy. I'm not sure if it's Octavius or just Tavius.
Who has noticed that Barbara is a beautiful soul. He has seen her and he has taken note. That is a kind, wonderful person.
Because he saw Barb helping out the cellmates. Like, I want to buy you and you'll be put in a nicer place than any other person that's going to buy
you. Barbara's like, so you're going to let me go? And he's like, well, no, I buy slaves. That's what I do. I'm just going to, you know, make sure that you get at a nice slave place.
Yeah.
And Barbara's like, I'm not really interested, to be honest. I'm not for sale. So, thanks for the offer.
Which I feel like the show is trying to portray this guy as an okay guy. It still feels creepy to me.
Well,
it still seems creepy to Barbara, too, so.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess, on the scale of things, this guy is an okay guy.
He's one of those operating within the system guys.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's like, I'll put you in here, but you're not going to be here for very long.
Yes.
I didn't think about that.
Yep. Now you know.
So yeah, maybe he was playing a long con that he couldn't really explain. Because he actually keeps trying to explain, but Barbara won't let him.
Because Barbara's like, I don't... This whole situation's gross. No one talk to me. No one touch me.
But yeah, maybe he had a plan. Because he does have a plan that we'll get to later.
He's playing a long game.
And then we get to the back to the boat, and there's a storm. Which, it's
legitimately
scary.
Yeah, there's, like, water coming into the boat, and, like...
Stuff's breaking.
Yeah, people are falling all over the place. I was sitting there, like, it was freaking me out.
Mm-hmm.
It was intense.
It was intense.
The boat crashes,
but before we get to what happens, because let's leave that on a little bit of a cliffhanger. What happened to Ian?
We don't know.
The Doctor and Vicky get to Rome, and there's a crowd forming for the auction, and they're like, oh, let's get out of here. We don't want to be seen or whatever.
Yeah. The first in, like, a series of things where everyone ends up in Rome, and no one sees each other the whole time they're in Rome.
Just near misses the whole serial.
But yeah, Vicky's like, what's happening? And the Doctor's like, you don't need to see that. That's... gross. We're going to walk away from it because I don't really need to expose you to the gross side of this. But Barbara's right there.
Yeah, like the second they step out of shot, Barbara walks in on the platform where they auction people off. Then I'm still not sure if it's Octavius or Tavius. I should look it up, but I'm not going to because who cares? This guy's only in this serial. That guy buys Barbara for like a hefty fee.
Yeah, everyone else is bidding and he's like, I'm going to go like...
Yeah, they're like...
8 grand above whatever anyone else is.
Yeah, they're like, 1,000, 1,200, 1,500, and he's like, 10,000. So yeah, he gets Barbara, and we find out that he is getting her for Nero.
So they're going to be in the same place, so maybe they'll find each other, right?
Yeah, who knows, maybe. Then we see what happens with Ian. He's beached like a whale. Him and his friend have crashed on this beach, and I guess everybody else died. Who knows?
We don't care about them.
Yeah, just as long as Ian and his buddy...
Well, actually, I think Ian's friend had kind of dragged him away and was able to save them. And I don't think anyone else really made it.
And so he's like, he bashes Ian's chains, much to Tony's disappointment. Ian is freed.
I don't know what you're saying.
I'm saying that you were turned on by Ian and chains.
That's not entirely true. What are we... Can we...
Okay, I'm sorry. You are aesthetically aroused.
So anyway.
We have another near miss. Barbara's brought in to Nero. And then Nero, was brought in. And then Octavius is like, bring in because the musician's here. Bring him in. He's like, never mind. Wait. I'm going to go out to see him. And then they do not see each other. But it's very close that Barbara and the Doctor and Vicky almost met up. But then they didn't. And then Nero comes in. And immediately belches and is...
It's the scene where the Doctor and Vicky are, like, waiting to meet Nero. And Vicky is, like, fangirling it up. She's, like, getting giddy and giggling. And she's like, I can't believe we're about to meet Nero. This is crazy. Nero walks into shot and just belches.
It's like it's very reminiscent of Khan and Marco Polo.
It was a nice... And he has, of course, like, that, like... turkey leg
that you give to
kings and TV shows.
Yeah, like the ones you get at like theme parks.
So he's there because he wants to hear the Doctor.
And the doctor's like, oh, but I've heard you're a great lyre player. I can't. I feel uncomfortable playing in front of you. Why don't you play first?
And then I'll see if I... He bullshits his way out of it, basically.
Yeah, and that, but there's this adorable scene where, like, it's really funny, where he gives the lyre to Nero, and Nero's like, stool! And they pull a stool up for him. And, like, you think the doctor thinks it's for him. He's like, the doctor tries to sit in it, but, like, Nero puts his foot in it so he can, like, prop the lyre on his knee. And the doctor's like, oh, yes. Oh, of course, you do that for the lyre. Mm, yes, I knew that. But, yeah, he just bullshits his way out of playing anything. Like, the Nero plays, like, three notes. And is like, oh, this lyre, shit. Bring me my lyre sort of thing. But they do. And, like, the doctor just does exactly what he did. And is like, you were much better because you're a fantastic emperor.
And of course, he's like, yeah, I am. I'm the best. This guy's smart. My favorite part, though, is that at some point when they switch hands, like, the doctor gives the lyre to Nero.
And Nero gives
him the turkey leg. And the doctor's just like,
all right.
Well, I have a turkey leg now, I guess. Like, he has it for the rest of the scene, and he just is like doesn't know what to do with it.
I think he starts eating
Does
it.
Does he?
Yeah. Why not?
Like, he's talking and bullshitting this whole time, but he's, like, got the turkey leg in his
There's a lot of that in this serial, of just, like, swapping around and, like, almost seeing each other. There's a lot of, like, I don't know, clever sort of...
There's a lot of good comedic timing.
And then we come back to Ian and the guy who just... gotten back to Rome, like, that. By the way, they're like, the guy's like, let's get out of here, and Ian's like, no, I'm going back to Rome, and the dude's like, what? I'll follow you, because I like you. I ship him.
Okay, anything that looks at, anyone who looks at each other, vaguely.
Well, they were literally on a ship.
You're so dumb.
It's very, it reminded me a lot of the relationship of Barbara and, I forget her name, Foot Doctor from Dalek Invasion.
Oh, yeah. Okay, you ship that too, though.
Well, did you see that? She
Do you
clearly
have any concept of, like, platonic friendship?
This is on Earth, not Pluto.
Why?
Because you love me. But yeah, they've just gotten to Rome, and they're like, we look awful. We should clean up.
Because we look like escaped slaves.
Yeah. They're like, all right, let's go over here. And they immediately get caught. Immediately.
No, the guy says... The guy's like, I don't know why I shouldn't, why I shouldn't stay with you. Because the guy's like, this is too risky, it's too dangerous. And he's like, you don't have to stay. I'm not asking you to stay. Like, I know it's ridiculous, but I have got to find Barbara because I love her. And,
and the guy's like, well, we're plutonic. Is that what you said?
So the guy's like, I'm going to stay with you. You know what? Luck's been with us so far. And I was like, what? Why you gotta go and say that, man?
Because, like, seriously, they turn the corner and guards are there and they're caught immediately. I'm reading something here. The doctor finds the dead Centaurian?
Someone killed. And, like, casually, too. Like, it's like they move some curtains and they're like, that guy's dead.
I don't remember. Was it? I don't know if it ever says what happened to that Centaurian.
Yes, it does say. Yeah, he says, he's like, you know what? That guy found out, but I took care of it.
Oh, yeah. So it was Tavius. Or Octavius. God, I don't that know. That guy. Ian and his buddy get taken to the cells. The same cells that Barbara was in.
Same ones.
Same exact ones. They are going to be put in the arena, and then we see a lot of stock footage of lions. But because it's the cliffhanger, it doesn't actually happen. Spoilers. That's the cliffhanger for All Roads Lead to Rome, because that's where everybody's at now. Get the title. And now we're on to Conspiracy! I have a thing that says Smash Lyre, but I don't know what it's talking about. Did the doctor smash his lyre? If so, why? No, it was Nero. Nero smashed a lyre.
Why?
I don't remember. He's mad or something.
It's just metal as fuck.
Yeah, he's like, I just did a great concert. Smash! I rocked it out for that other lyre player. I was totally better. Smash. Then the doctor finds out he's in a conspiracy that he knows nothing about. He keeps trying to get information and never gets any information. He's like, I still have no idea what conspiracy I'm involved in.
Although, I think this is the point where he decides if he's going to get information, he's going to have to get it from the top, right?
I guess, yeah.
So he's like, I'm going to go hang out with Nero.
But, like, Tavius, like, throughout the serial, Tavius would be like, things are going according to plan. And the doctor's like, yes, the plan.
Which is...
refresher, maybe? But never gets any info. I mean, eventually he will. But, like, for most of it, he's like, I have no idea what I'm doing. But he's like, I know what I'm doing.
I just don't know what's going on.
I am doing what I need to do with the limited amount of knowledge that I have, is how he would probably phrase it.
No.
Because he would not be like, I don't know.
Limited and knowledge in the same sentence to refer to himself. Not ever.
And then we have this scene with Nero and his wife. I don't honestly remember what was going on. They're bickering and talking about something. And Nero's going all around the room. And the reason I don't remember this is because there's this guy with trying to put a crown on Nero's head in the background. And he's just like, ah, stop moving. And, like, Nero keeps moving. And, like, eventually Nero, like, sees him and he's just like, stop following me! The whole episode, this dude's trying to be a good, like assistant to Nero. And it just pisses Nero off.
Continuously, yeah.
Following me.
It's a great scene, because it's, like, he almost gets it a couple of times and then falls over. And you're just like, I didn't put the damn thing on your head.
And then they bring Barbara in to Nero, because she's going to be Nero's attendant.
She's supposed to work for his wife, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Something like that. Nero instantly pops a boner for Barbara, because everyone does, apparently. And he's really creepy. And, like, his wife's right there. But he's still, oh yeah, I forgot you're in the room. Whatever.
Which, like, I feel like that's a common thing, though. I don't know. Like, because she takes Barbara aside after Nero gets called up to do something. She takes Barbara aside and is like, look, I'm Empress. It's my job. Fuck you. Don't be messing with shit. And Barbara's like, look, I just want to go home. I have no intention of getting involved in this crazy shit.
Stuff starts to sort of get a little hectic here because the doctor's bouncing around and almost bumps into Barbara a couple times. Vicky winds up with this potion maker. She's like the official poison maker.
I love this character, by the way. She's only in it for, these couple of scenes where she finds Vicky and she's just like, I'm gonna teach you what I do. And Vicky's like, doesn't that like upset people? She's like, well, I mean, I don't know. It's not like, does anyone, come after you for revenge? And it's like, well, it's not got nothing to do with me, personally.
It's just how he is.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a very, I like her character. She's brewing this poison, and she pulled it up to the camera, and it's like, I wonder who's going to have,
this.
Yeah, and it's smash cut to Barbara. And I'm like,
that's
actually
some decent foreshadowing.
Yeah.
And this is where we're going to get to the one downfall of this serial, because as the doctor's bombing around, as Vicky's hanging out with the poison maker, as all this is going on, the other thing that's going on at the same time is Nero is creepily and awfully chasing Barbara to, like, kiss her and stuff.
I mean, like, the thing is, Barbara's a slave. She's very clearly frightened. She doesn't want any part of this. And Nero's chasing her around, and, like, Barbara's frightened. It's terrifying.
But the
whole thing is very comedic. It's played for laughs. It's Scooby-Doo, but someone might get sexually assaulted at the end.
I think it's trying to be like a French comedy of errors type of thing, but it's also not good because it's like, it's, I mean, generally in those type of things, you have the guy chasing the girl, and the girl's all like, tee! Like, it's clearly a game sort of thing. This is not a game.
Right.
This is a guy that's forcing his way onto a woman, basically. The laughs are not there. And also, you have, like, the doctor, like, is gonna enter the room, but he hears, like, Barbara screaming and him chasing her.
By the way.
And the doctor's like, oh, don't want to interfere with that.
Because it's like there's this very bouncy, kitschy music playing, and it's like those hallway scenes of, like, people popping out of doors and almost running into each other. But then also in the background, Barbara is screaming.
Yeah.
Like, it's so uncomfortable.
It's so uncomfortable because there's this one shot that is almost like a direct, it's the exact same shot from the Keys of Marinus, where the creepy mountain guy's chasing Barbara around a table.
Which is not played for laughs.
Yeah, it's, like, frightening, and it's supposed to be. And this time we had the exact same thing. It's Nero chasing her around either a table or a bed. I don't remember. But, like, it's the exact same shot, but you have... music playing, and it's like, no, this is not funny. And then you have, like, comedic-ish stuff still going on, like the doctor almost bumping in, and then, but it feels off now. And you also have, like, the guy chasing Nero to, like, the crown guy. Yeah, the assistant guy. And, like, Nero getting mad at him and then losing track of Barbara because of it. But because of that inherent, like, awfulness, none of it feels funny.
You just feel kind of uncomfortable the whole time.
Yeah, you're just like, oh, I wish. And then he does, like, pull her into bed with him. Stuff's about to happen. Door opens up and the queen's there. And he's like, oh, and, like, pushes her off the bed. And is like, oh, I didn't see you there. Did you want something?
Can I help you?
Wah, wah. Nero's foiled. Comedy. So, yeah, not a fan of the rape comedy.
It's awkward. It's awkward.
It is awkward. I don't know if there's a way that it could have been done in a comedy way. I don't know.
I think you're supposed to assume that he's, I don't know, isn't going to do anything worse than, like, kiss her. But even then...
It's still gross. Yes. It's still awful. And you still don't want it to happen.
Like, it's very clearly, like, she can't say no.
Yeah. Like, if it wasn't a situation of, like, there's, like, a misunderstanding going on, that thing's kind of all right. Oh, that guy thinks she likes him, but she doesn't like him. Like, that would have been okay. But this is just a guy that's like, I'm king. She has to do this.
Yeah.
And it's not funny.
I don't know, like, not that you can't not do it, but it's awkward to play it for laughs.
And especially since you've had this scene before, and it was not played for laughs, and it was frightening, and now you're doing it again in, like, a jokey manner, and it makes that whole section not really work.
It would have otherwise been a nice comedy scene.
Yeah, because, like, the idea of, like, the doctor almost bumping into Barbara, or everybody almost bumping into each other, but not, that's funny.
It's just... That context is there, and you can't really overlook it. So, that happens. We all feel uncomfortable, and then...
The way it could have worked is if you cut out that sort of sex angle, and, like, Barbara's trying to escape, and Nero's trying to chase her down and get her back, but, like, through all these...
Or someone.
Yeah, like just, like, I'm trying to get on the can't, because, like, this dude's trying to put a crown on me, and, like, they almost bump into each other... Like, and then they even have, like, Barbara not being able to escape.
Because she's running into
other things. That would be funny. That could work. But just having this weird, yeah. Anyway. Then we find out that Ian is not going to fight a lion. He's going to do something worse. He's supposed to fight his friend.
His best friend. His
buddy.
They're Biffs. And they gotta fight each other to the death.
And, like, it's a little less...
I love gladiator episodes.
Yeah. And the other guy's just like, I'm really sorry. I like you a lot, but I'm going to have to try to kill you. Like, I don't see any other way out of this.
And Ian's like, for real?
And he's like, if...
We made friendship bracelets.
He's like, I know, but, like, I have a family and stuff. Like, I can't... Like, if I do kill you, I'll try to make it quick. That's the best I can... do. And it's really sad. Because that is actually a nice twist. You're like, because you kind of do get excited. Because you're like, Ian's going to fight a lion.
It's going to be badass. And then it's like, oh no,
you got to fight your friend. That's worse. That's sad. And then...
I was excited because I thought maybe Ian would take a lion out with his thumb.
And also Ian talks to Barbara's cellmate and then finds out that Barbara was there and stuff and that she was bought. But like, that's not... It actually doesn't really further the... plot that much at all, because he doesn't really learn anything. Like, it was just, like, an interesting coincidence.
It's one more near miss.
Yeah, I could, yeah. Like, sort of an interconnected thing, but it doesn't really lead anywhere, and it doesn't really add anything. Yeah, I mean, it is a near miss, but plot-wise, it does nothing. What happens to them would have happened anyway. Then we have a sauna scene where...
So, I said before that the doctor realizes he's gonna have to go straight to the top to figure out what's going on. Mm-hmm. Which apparently to him means... laying in the sauna doing nothing.
With Nero, yeah. Just chillaxing. Just,
yeah, hanging out.
The doctor learns nothing. There's something that happens, like an attendant does something. I think it's the crown guy screws up something, or the Nero assumes he's screwing
something
up.
What happens is, he goes to, like, bring in more hot water, and I think he pours it on him. And the doctor kind of saves the guy. Nero pulls out his sword and is ready to, like, stab the man to death. And the doctor's like, yeah, get him out of here. Banish him. He's banished from here. And Nero's like, yeah, banished. Not dead.
Nero and the doctor have this conversation where once again you have comedy props. Because, like, before we had the lyre and the turkey leg, this time there's a sword that's being held that, like, they keep moving around and winding up in each other's faces, and they have to, like, push the sword out of the way so they don't get stabbed in the face.
They're talking with it, and they just got it in their hands. I mean, like, it switches hands, but they both do it.
Yeah. They'll, like, push it out of the way and then move around right back into the thing. They're like, ah, yeah, then move it again. It's really good.
I do think that Hartnell has good comedic timing, and mm-hmm. it's nice when he's able to, you know, play with that some.
Yeah.
He's got comedic sensibilities, and when they give him the opportunity to play with that, it's beautiful.
Well, I mean, and he has the greatest laugh. I just love it so much. He's like, that's quintessential doctor. Like, that's what I think about when I think about the first doctor, is his laugh. Like, that's the first thing that I think of. Because that's very much him. That, that I just love it. He's adorable. And then the doctor continues to, like, try to figure out, what am I doing here? And nothing. But gets this bombshell dropped on him of, you're going to put on a concert. And he's like, oh, all right. Oh, no. And then the queen, on to the next plot. The queen is going to poison Barbara for trying to steal her man or whatever. Even though that's not what's happening at all.
Mm.
Vicky finds out about this.
Vicky's hanging out with the poison chick.
Mm-hmm.
And as she overhears the plan, and she's like, I don't see why some... Because she doesn't know it's Barbara.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't see why some slave should, you know, have to die. So I'm just going to switch those cups.
Switch them around. Little switcheroo.
Which the doctor finds out about it and is like, what? You can't meddle in history! And Vicky's kind of like, oh, okay.
Okay.
Sure.
Sure.
Man pretending to be a liar player. He's just a liar.
But yeah, she puts the pellet with the poison in the flag from the dragon, and the chalice from the palace has the brew that is true. Right? That's a reference to the Corchester. They bring the drinks out to Nero and Barbara, and Barbara just chugs hers.
Yeah, like, why?
Because it's like, I have to put up with his asshole. That's why.
That was just to, like, make sure that her mouth is busy.
What?
So that he can't use kiss it for her. Any... Kiss her.
Right.
Kiss her, you nasty.
I didn't know where you were going. I was frightened.
God.
Barbara chugs the booze.
The brew that is true.
The brew that is true. The doctor runs in and is like, Nero, don't drink that. It's poisoned. Don't do it. Which would have saved him a lot of trouble. But yeah, so Nero doesn't drink the poison. Sniffs it and is like, yeah, this seems pretty, I don't know. And, like, gives it to the guy, the attendant guy, the crown guy.
Well, so it's not the one that got banished.
Well, I think maybe he was temporarily banished and came back. I don't know.
Or it's two different people.
Or it's two different people. Who knows?
We don't keep track of secondary, third.
But characters. I do know it's definitely the guy that was chasing him around with the crown. Okay. It was definitely that guy. He drinks the poison and immediately dies.
Just dies. He's dead.
And Nero's like, someone's trying to kill me. Interesting. He arrests Barbara, because he assumes it was Barbara, right?
No.
Barbara got arrested or something.
The queen arrested her. You thought this when we were watching it the first time. You're like, yeah, did he arrest her? It's like, no, the queen arrested her.
I looked down for a second.
No, the queen. The empress. Mm-hmm. It's not whatever.
Anyway.
The empress arrests Barbara for whatever she thinks.
Being attractive to Nero?
Yeah. Basically.
And then back at the feast, it's showtime. It's concert time.
It is concert time, and the doctor is going to have to play this instrument that he has no idea how to play. So how does he get out of it? He bullshits, of course.
He's like, this tune I'm about to play is so sophisticated.
It's delicate. It's so delicate. It's very quiet. So only people... He Emperor's New Clothes his way out of playing anything. He's like, it's so delicate, so quiet. Only people, you know, with really attuned ears, only real artists can hear it.
And he just 433s that mofo.
Yeah.
If you get that reference.
He plays nothing.
He plays nothing.
And everyone's amazed.
It's funny, too, because, like, he's playing nothing and then stops for a second. And then everyone starts to applaud and then he keeps going. And he's like, now I'm done.
Now I'm done. Now you can all applaud.
Everyone cheers.
Which kind of backfires in
that... That's the thing. The doctor does a lot of smooth shit that backfires almost immediately.
Yeah, so he's gotten out of playing this concert. But Nero's pissed because everyone likes him better. He's like, yeah. Well, screw that guy. I'm the best, obviously. So,
and also, he's also like, he hears laughter and stuff, and he's like, they're laughing at him. He made a fool of me.
Yeah, screw that guy. So I'm going to have him play at the arena. I'm going to be like, hey, opening act for the Gladiators, and then...
Sick the lions on him. The yeah. stock footage lions.
Screw him.
Spoilers, we don't see the lions. No. We keep being promised lions attacking people.
I was promised lions, and lions were not delivered.
Bullshit. This is bullshit. That's all right.
Do you need a moment?
Or... No, I'm fine. Fine. Okay. All right. Jeez. So Barbara's arrested, but then, like, she's immediately dragged to this event, to the arena thing with...
Yeah, how does that happen?
I don't know. See, that's why I was confused.
You're right. She's supposed to be arrested, but then Nero finds her and drags her to the event and is watching the arena with
Barbara. Ian has to fight the guy, his buddy, and then Ian and Barbara see each other.
Yeah, so, of course, Barbara's with Nero at the arena, watching Ian fight gladiator style his Biff. Same. I can't find words, that's why I'm gesturing with my hands frantically, but that doesn't translate well in audio. It's intense.
It is very intense. But the fight is really intense.
It's a very good fight scene. They're getting better and better at fight scenes. They've realized that they can't do it super slowly. And if they speed it up...
The thing is, you don't have to have complicated choreography, which they don't. But if you're moving at a fast enough speed, it looks better than just clunk, clunk, clunk. They're just going at it.
Clunk, 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 clunk.
Yeah. That's better. Ian's buddy gets the upper hand and knocks him to the ground. Like, actually, Ian gets the upper hand first. But does nothing. And Nero's pissed.
He's got the sword on his neck, and he just takes it back.
And Nero's like, why didn't he do it? Why didn't he? Eh.
This is bullshit! I was promised bloodshed!
His friend gets the upper hand, and is like, ready to kill Ian. And Nero gives the thumbs down. He's about to swing it down. Cliffhanger. That is the end of the conspiracy, which we never figured out what that conspiracy was. And we are now on to Inferno! And then his friend...
I'm remembering how worried I was about Ian, and I need a moment.
Aww.
Oh, it was so scary, you guys.
So he's about to bring the sword down on Ian, take his life.
And then the most ridiculous thing happens.
Well, it's not ridiculous.
It's pretty ridiculous.
Well, I mean, his buddy charges at Nero. That's not ridiculous.
That's a little ridiculous.
No, that's good.
No, it's good. I'm glad it happens.
He goes for Nero instead. I was like, yeah!
Hell yeah, yeah.
Give it to the man. But what?
I mean, I don't know. That's not how that shit works out.
But they don't kill Nero.
They somehow escape, though. And that's the thing that's like, they charge the Emperor. And, like, there's not that much, like, separation between them. Like, they're in the arena, but the arena's, like, two steps down from where Nero is watching. Mm-hmm. So, like, they only have to go up these two steps to, like, attack him. And then their guards are completely incompetent, and they get out. But Barbara doesn't. And Ian, it's like a rush. They're fighting, and everyone's rushing around. And Barbara just kind of Ian just kind of turns and is like, I'll come back for you. And I'm like, what? No!
Well, he doesn't want to die.
I know. It was the right move, but I wanted them all to be together again.
But, I mean, it works dramatically.
Yes.
So, I mean, it might not make a whole lot of sense logically.
Yeah, I'm just saying that is like a terribly arranged arena. Like, I feel like that probably, if it was that easy, it probably happened lots of times.
Well, I mean, Nero has previously been portrayed as a bit of a
pretty
doofus.
Incompetent. Although,
this scene is when he starts to get creepy. Because, he's like, this guy, you know this Ian guy. Barbara knows this Ian guy.
It's become very apparent that they know each other, yeah.
And so he's, like, ready to, like, cause havoc.
He's he said he'll be back for you. I'm going to use you as bait, and when Ian comes back, we're going
to
kill him.
Actually, you think he's going to kill Barbara, and he stabs his sword, like, right next to her, and she screams. But then he pulled back and he stabbed one of his guards.
He didn't fight hard enough. And, like, terrifying.
This goofy villain has now become, like, a legitimate threat. I mean, I didn't like when he was chasing Barbara around, but still, now he feels like a...
Yeah, he was very much comedic. And now he's, you know, legitimately terrifying, which I think is great. Mm-hmm. And then, like, after a little bit while, we have another scene with him, and he's back to being kind of comedic, and he switches back and forth really well. Like, I think this guy is kind of amazing. He has some range.
Because, like, yeah, he's goofy and then frightening, which is good. So that's nice. The whole serial is a nice balance of comedy and, like, you know. Because, I mean, like, you have the more comedic elements with all the bumbling around, but you also have, like, serious dramatic moments with, like, Ian and his buddy and Ian and Barbara. That all works, like on an emotional level, I feel like. And I feel like it maybe works a little better because there's also so much comedy. I love when things have a nice balance of those two things. I feel like there's not enough things that are a good mixture of comedy and drama. Because I feel like dramas work better when there's a fair amount of comedy.
You gotta have some comedic relief.
Yeah, because I feel like you connect better with characters when they're joking around and stuff, because you're like,
me too.
We're all buddies. We're all friends. We're all laughing here.
We're all having a good time.
And so that way you feel more connected to the characters. So when serious stuff happens, you care more than just if, like, it just, you know, the whole thing. You're like, oh, this guy is really moody and angsty, and I'm just depressed already and sad. And, like, I don't know. I feel like you don't feel like connected to him as much because you're just watching this sad thing happen to this character, you know? Whereas if you've, like, joked around with them and had fun, then you feel more connected, and you're like, oh no, I don't want bad things to happen to this person. That's just the way I think, anyway. So, the queen, like, Empress. Straight up, the Empress, is it? I keep saying queen.
I did too.
Anyway, she, like, straight up confronts Barbara. I think she slaps Barbara.
Oh, there's a lot of slapping.
There's a lot of slapping.
Ian gets slapped, like, a couple episodes back for trying to escape. He gets slapped. And then, yeah, Barbara gets slapped. Someone else gets slapped.
Does Barbara get slapped? I don't know. Someone else gets slapped.
There's two slaps. We don't know who the second slap is.
Barbara goes to bald guy Octavius. But Barbara confides in him and is like, this is what's going on. I'm waiting for Ian to come get me. Help me out.
And the Empress has previously gone to him and is like, look, I don't care how. I don't care what you do. Just get rid of Barbara. I don't want her here anymore. Take her back. Get rid of her.
And Octavius is like, this is perfect. You escape with Ian, and I'll just say I got rid of you.
Which, Barbara goes to him, and I'm like, why? Why do we trust him? Why do we think it's a great idea to confide in him? Because she's previously been like, I hope you know, I don't intend to stay here. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you mean escape? Like, just so you know, they find you, that's punishable by death, so maybe don't. I don't know. Like, it works out.
Yeah.
He ends up being, you know, worthy of her trust, I guess, but mm-hmm. when it's happening, I'm like, I don't know if we should trust this guy.
But then he, after talking to Barbara, goes to talk to the doctor and tell him, hey, you're going to be playing in the arena, but then you're going to be attacked by lions, so maybe don't do
get
that.
Get out of here.
Get out of that.
But by the way, could you
go ahead and kill Nero already? So what you came here to do is kill Nero. Why aren't you killing Nero? And the doctor's like, oh, right.
Mm,
that yes. plan.
Okay.
Mm. I'll get on that. Leave yes. it to me.
I can do that. He can't, though.
But then Tavius leaves. Nero comes in. The doctor is all like, Nero's like, I've got a surprise for you. And the doctor's like, oh, am I going to be playing in the arena? Because I figure that's what I'm going to be doing. And then, like, just starts, like, subtle it, like, putting in these, like, obvious things. And he's like, I know you're going to feed me to the lions. I'm not stupid.
And he's crushed. He's like, aw, you couldn't know. Aw, I haven't told anyone. Like, he pouts. Ruined my fun. Aw.
And then they're chatting and stuff. And the doctor has his eyeglasses behind his back. And sets fire to... Because Nero has plans to, like...
To rebuild Rome.
Rebuild Rome. The doctor sets them on fire, basically. And, like, Nero's like, what have you done? What have you done?
Hey, wait a minute here.
This is fantastic.
What a great idea.
Boom. Light bulb, or whatever the Roman equivalent of a light bulb.
Fire.
It's still fire. Goes off in Nero's head. And he's like, I'm going to burn the city down. And then they have no choice but to let me rebuild it.
Which, I don't think that's true.
What?
Did he actually burn down? Like, I've
heard...
Did
Nero burn down Rome?
Yeah, I've heard that that's not true.
Tony, I was confused by the French Revolution. I'm not up on my history.
That's why we gotta watch the show.
Yeah, so if going by what this says, yes, Nero burned down Rome.
Which I would like to point out, by the way, So he basically gives Nero this idea. And then later in Fires of Pompeii, Donna Noble asks if he's been here before. And he's like, yeah, once. He's like, by the way.
A while back.
Yeah. By the way, before you ask, those fires have nothing to do with me. Liar. Big, fat liar.
Vicky and, this is skipping forward a little bit, Vicky and the doctor have this whole thing about, like, Vicky's like, this is kind of your fault. He's like, no. My fault.
Is it?
Then he's slightly proud that it's his fault.
And, like, it amuses him a little bit.
And he's like, yeah, I did that.
I think it's more like, oh, man.
I did do that.
Huh.
I'm going to deny it later.
I'm going to lie about it years and years and years in the future.
But yeah, sure, I think I did it. He doesn't say that to Vicky. That's a self-realization thing.
With Vicky, he's like, no! Vicky walks away and he kind of has this moment where he just kind of like...
He thinks
about it and just starts laughing. Like, shit, yeah. Yeah, that was me.
But before we get to there, Nero has the guards looking out for Ian. But at the same time, he's like, bring a lot of people in because I'm going to set this town on fire.
Right. So one of those people happens to be Ian and his friend. And it's like, he's standing just feet away from him. How does he not know that they're right there?
Tavius, pretty incompetent. Tavius or Octavius notices Ian and then helps him out. So this, all in all, this guy's turned out to be a pretty decent dude.
Yeah.
Nero's paying all these people to, like, go set the town on fire.
Which I don't think we flat out said it, but he is helping, or his intention was to help the liar player assassinate Nero. He was the one who killed the centurion. I don't know if we flat out said that, but yeah. Now we have.
Now you know. But, like, I guess the doctor just completely fails to, I don't know. He just, but him, Doctor and Vicky just escape. They just get out because they're like, nobody's looking for them. Tavius gets, reunites Ian and Barbara.
They escape and, like, a centurion comes over and the doctor's like, it's just us. The centurion's like, bye.
But Tavius reunites Ian and Barbara. They escape, and there's just tons of fires, and then we have like a nice little like Nero standing amidst the flames playing the lyre, and like just evilly laughing, and that's a really nice shot. But Ian and Barbara somehow make it back to the house before the doctor and Vicky. I guess because the doctor's
so
old.
So then they promptly go back to laying around doing nothing.
Ian's
eating grapes again.
We go back into this sort of like the beginning of the serial. It slows down. We're out of trouble, but we have a little bit of time to hang out again.
Yeah.
Ian pulls the refrigerator trick on Barbara. And
he gets his revenge.
And they're just chatting about stuff. And
Barbara makes a mistake. Ian's
like sees the shattered remains of the vase, and he's like, that must have been what the guy hit me over the head with.
Barbara goes,
and Barbara's like, yes. But they get into like a little bit of a back and forth, and Barbara accidentally lets it slip that she was the one who smashed Ian over the head, because she's like, if you know, I wouldn't have accidentally hit you.
Me? And Ian's like, you're the reason why I was basically a slave for, like, the past 3 to 4 days. And
there was a bit of a pillow fight before that, too. But yeah, anyway. Then Ian starts chasing her around.
No, what it was is what they were trying to figure out was who would clean up the base.
Yeah.
Because Ian's like, well, who's, you know, we need to clean this up. And Barbara kind of was like, yeah, you should clean it up. And then now Ian's like, wait a second. So you broke the vase over my head and now you want me to clean it up? Rude. That is just rude. I mean, it's cute. It's a play fight.
It's a play fight. It gets a little too much for me at the end of it when he's like holding her down and stuff.
He's
going to put her face
in a fountain. Yeah. He's trying to splash her with water and she's like, all right, I'll clean it up.
I think I just didn't catch that it was a fountain. I didn't see the fountain. That's why.
But you didn't know what he was doing?
Yeah. So I was like, he's just holding her down. This is awful.
No.
Okay, it's not as bad as I thought.
No, it's a fountain and he's trying to basically just spray her with water.
Mm.
And it's just a cute little fight.
I guess Ian wins and Barbara's cleaning up the
boss. Yeah, no, Barbara's like, fine, I'll clean it up. And Ian's like, good.
Yeah. And then like being all smug and then just immediately goes back to being the huge dork and just starts like... doing his speech stuff again.
Yeah. So then, while this is happening, actually, I think it's been a while, so that they're laying around again.
It's been a while. God damn it.
So they're laying around again, and Ian's eating grapes, and Barbara's just kind of chilling out, and the doctor and Vicky get back, and the doctor's like, oh my god, you people, the doctor's my mom, you people haven't moved the whole time I've been gone. You guys have been just laying here. Me and Vicky, we went on an adventure. Mm-hmm. We met Nero. I started fires. You guys are eating grapes. The same grapes. And Barbara and Ian are like, excuse me? That is not. And the doctor's like, I can't believe it. I'm just going to continue talking over you. All right, that's it. We're going to go. We're going to go because I cannot stand to watch you guys lay around anymore. And at no point give Ian and Barbara a chance to explain their adventure at all. Vicky and the doctor leave, and Ian and Barbara are like, you know what, even if we told them, they'd probably just say that it was a dream. I guess we'll never tell them.
And then they leave, and Ian's like, gonna steal this vase. He, like, straight up steals something.
He does. He's like, what does he say?
Memento or something.
Yeah, Roman memento is what he says. And it's like, have some respect for people's property, you guys. I mean, it's cute.
Yeah.
And I like to think that he, like, has it in his office somewhere today. Aww.
Don't think he left the TARDIS with it.
Hmm. Well, then the Spoilers. Doctor has it in his office.
His TARDIS office. So, but yeah, then they get back in the TARDIS and they head out, and then they're trying to get somewhere, but something's dragging them down. What could it be?
And there's another scene, by the way, of does the Doctor, in fact, know how to fly the TARDIS? But Vicky's kind of like, so where are we going? Okay. Has the Doctor mentioned where we're going? And Ian and Barbara are like, exactly work like that?
So it's a surprise to everyone, Vicky.
To everyone. We're all equally surprised whenever we land anywhere. You're not telling me that he doesn't know how to fly it. Like, he's spending an awful lot of time touching buttons for someone who doesn't know what he's doing. And Barbara just kind of like, I don't know what to tell you. I'm not going to say anything because last time we said anything, we almost got left in the French Revolution. So, best just to leave it alone. He does press an awful lot of buttons.
He does.
And I've been thinking about it. They end up on Earth an awful lot. I feel like maybe
he's trying to hone in.
I was going to say, I feel like maybe he's trying really hard to get them back. But he doesn't, you know, doesn't want to be questioned kind of thing. So I think he legitimately feels kind of bad and is trying really hard to get them home.
Mm.
That's why they end up on Earth so much. Yeah. He can't get them there.
But that's pretty much the Romans. There's one thing I want to talk about that we didn't actually touch on that much.
Yeah.
Is Vicky. Vicky is actually...
We adore Vicky.
Yeah, she didn't get to do a whole lot, but like when she's there, she's like, I don't know, just her and the Doctor have a great dynamic.
Good chemistry.
Yeah.
The whole team now has a great chemistry, I feel like. Obviously, Ian and Barbara's a given.
Mm.
But, like, Vicky and Ian and Barbara, and Vicky and the Doctor, and everyone together, everyone gels very nicely, and it's just, I don't know, I'm a big fan of this team. I'm a big fan of Team TARDIS 2.0.
I think why it works so much better than, I mean, I hate to rag on Susan so much, but Susan had sort of this, like, moody teenager rebelling thing.
Yeah, I think the problem with Susan isn't Susan so much, it was the dynamic between her and the Doctor, where, like, the Doctor's relationship with her is kind of controlling, kind of undermining,
mm-hmm.
where, like, he doesn't trust her to be her own person,
mm-hmm.
whereas...
Vicky and
that's
the Doctor.
That's not with Vicky.
Yeah,
that's
Vicky is just like, Doctor's like, look at that, look at what we're doing. And Vicky's like, yeah, this is awesome. You're adorable and I'm having so much fun. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
Like, they're cutting up all the time and like, look at all this stuff we're getting into. And she's just like, the entire time the Doctor's like basically kind of getting himself further and further into this like huge thing that he's not know what's going on. She's just sort of like watching and chuckling.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's kind of like, you know, we should probably stop, right? And the Doctor's like, yeah, probably. And like, all right, I just want to be like the one to have brought that up. Like, in case we needed an out.
Yeah.
But if not, I'm going to go explore this place then. Like, she's the friend that will get arrested with you.
Yeah, I mean, but all in all, I loved this serial. I thought it was great. I mean, other than that one awkward moment with Nero and Barbara, this thing's solid. It's funny. It's dramatic. I liked it a lot.
It's delightful in that it gives me what I want, mm-hmm. which is to see the characters that I like hanging out. I'm I'm a big nerd for that. I just like them hanging out with each other, teasing each other, having a good time, and then maybe one of them will almost die, and it'll be a good time for everybody.
But yeah, I mean, it's the funniest. I'd say it's definitely the funniest serial we've had so far. The villain was great.
Yeah.
Vicky's great. Everything was just good. Everything was good. Set design was great. That ship scene was fantastic.
We didn't talk at all about the costumes.
Oh yeah, the costumes were good.
The costumes were great. I mean, it's Romans. It's
togas.
Yeah. I'm easily pleased, but I enjoyed it.
It looked like Ian had a rotary dial on his crest thing that put his toga together, but it still looked cool. Are we done with the Romans? We good?
Yeah, I think we've closed this out.
All right, cool. So before we, sign off and tell you what we're doing next week, we want to bring up a bit of news.
We'd like to announce a thing.
Thing announcement! We now have a Patreon, which is patreon.com/watchathon. That's all one word, no dashes, just watch-a-thon. So if you guys want to, help support the show, if you like it, we have...
We have rewards.
Rewards and stretch goals.
Yeah. I don't need to go. You can go up and look at the stretch goals. There's a couple of them. But for rewards, at the $3 level, we'll put you on the Friends of Rassilon page.
Yeah, and we'll mention you.
We'll give you a shout out on the podcast, and thank you for donating, because it's awesome.
But do keep in mind that it may take a couple episodes before your name. We record these way in advance, yeah. So just a little bit of a heads up.
But yeah, that's the $3 level.
We have a $5 level, which is the early release of Rassilon, which is you'll get these episodes a day early before everyone else. Sneak peek, rub it in your friends' faces.
Yeah.
Or just say, hey, friends, also donate $5 and you get it a day early. That's the nicer thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
And this is per month, by the way. For $10 a month, we have the video of Rassilon, which is you will get uncut video recordings of these podcasts. We're actually recording one right now.
Hi,
we're waving. You can't see that if you're listening.
You can if you paid us money.
Yeah, so if you wanted to watch the uncut video recording of the podcast you're listening to right now, $10 a month, you can see it. You'll get to see video recordings of every other podcast. So it's like you're actually getting, and it'll be before the early day release too, so you can get to see it way early. And also our faces.
Yes, it will be. I mean, it's probably, gosh, how much content would you say you cut out?
Oh, I cut out a good, I don't know, 20 minutes at least, sometimes
more, sometimes less. There you go, 20 minutes of extra content that is most likely us being just nerds.
It's either us being nerds or going, But still, no, there'll be more stuff on that. And then for $15 a month, it's the Voyeurs of Rassilon, which is you'll get to watch videos of us watching the actual episodes. We're recording ourselves while we watch the episodes, so you can see our real-time reactions to the episodes. We have two episodes already up for this episode. We didn't do the first two episodes of the serial, but we did the third and the fourth because we didn't have the idea until halfway through watching the serial. But they're up there, and there'll be future ones, and we'll probably be adding more rewards. We're still trying to figure it all out, but
it's very new, so if you would like to go there, take a look, consider supporting us, that'd be cool of you.
Check it out, and let us know.
Something's burning.
Something's burning?
Did you smell it?
Did you leave this?
No, I didn't!
Next time, we will be diving into a much revered... No.
We're gonna watch the Web Planet!
The Web Planet, you guys, that's up next. Fun fact, it's the one the first time I went to the doctor, I stopped in the middle of this serial and did not get back to it for quite a while, because it's a challenge. We'll probably be having...
I'm excited.
We will be having a special guest with us, Josh Spurgeon, who's my best man at the wedding, I think possibly the last
we've gone through all of our wedding guests.
That are Whovians, anyway. Fun fact, I don't think he knows this is a bad serial.
No, and we've not told him, and I don't think we're going to tell him.
No, I just want to see what he thinks.
I will say, I've heard of people who genuinely like it.
Yeah, that's true. I know one of our followers on Tumblr said he liked Whiskey Cupcakes.
Whiskey Cupcakes, yeah.
Shout out to Whiskey Cupcakes.
You got that for free.
Yeah. Maybe Josh will like it. Maybe you'll like
maybe
it.
Maybe I'll like it.
I'm not going to.
I do. I am really there for camp. I love camp. So
it's so bad. We'll get into it though.
We'll talk about it later.
We'll talk about it next time when we talk about the Web Planet on the Watchathon of Rassilon.
But for real, do you smell that?
I don't smell that.